Hello and welcome to The Router, the official podcast of the UQ Computing Society, where we explore the human side of tech. I'm your host, Olivia, and on this week's episode, we'll be talking to Robert Quinn about the experience in the fast-paced startup industry. So thank you for joining me, Rob. Let's start by, if you could tell me a little bit about yourself, that would be awesome.
Yeah, for sure, Olivia. My name is Robert Quinn. I'm actually a UQ alum, both of engineering and of biomedical science. And I started a company in Australia a few years ago to save my own life called Patched. At Patched, we use deep learning and wearable devices to predict the onset of sepsis. I had 18 episodes of sepsis following a liver transplant, actually. And it's crazy because sepsis kills one in six times. And honestly, the only reason I survived was that I could tell I was getting sick. You know, I'd sort of get this sore legs and a warm face, and I would show up to the hospital early to be treated. And so my buddy from Monash, actually down in Melbourne, and I, we sort of sat down together and were like, we need to do something about this. And what we realized was that we could probably use deep learning and off-the-shelf wearables to do the same thing for others. And so I guess that's how Patched was born. Now, since starting the company, I mean, we started in Australia. We started in Sydney, actually, together. We both moved to Sydney. We went through Muru D, and now we found ourselves in the United States. You know, we went through YC, we've raised a couple of $1 million. We've been building out the company ever since. So I know that's a lot right out the gate, but there you go. That's, I guess, my background.
Yeah, awesome. No, I feel like that's actually a good little summary that we can kind of dive into.
No worries.
So I feel like kind of starting at the very start, you had an awesome idea. How did you kind of get it off the ground initially?
Yeah, sure thing. So, look, honestly, it was mostly just luck and determination more than anything else. I think the trick, honestly, was just to start. And that sounds insane. It's like, oh, you just start. Like, that just sounds crazy. But that's what we did. You know, when we first started, I was in my final year of university. I mean, I've been at UQ now then for 7 years, and I was going to my eighth year. And we used to post like PCBs down to each other. Like, he lived in Melbourne, I lived in Brisbane. And we'd post PCBs to each other. And we'd meet up in Sydney every month or two. And we'd sort of just discuss how we're going to get to the next milestone, how we were going to do the next thing, you know? And I guess that's just how we just started. And the more time you spend working on the project and thinking about how you can turn into a business and get it off the ground, you come up with these crazy ideas and you start trying those crazy ideas, things just start to happen. We were scrolling through the, how can we get some money here so we can quit our jobs and start this company and go full time. This was after we'd finished university, and we came across Muru D, and we're like, oh my God, they'll give us $40,000 for just an idea. Let's do it. You know? And so we did, we ended up getting into Muru D, we quit our jobs, and that was sort of the start of the journey for us. It was crazy.
Oh, that's very, very exciting. How did you find, I guess, quitting your jobs for obviously just the lump sum payment? How did you manage with, I guess, the security of not knowing how much income you were getting there?
Look, honestly, I think this is an Australian thing. I think Australians are very risk averse in general, which is it definitely works to it's beneficial for us in a lot of ways. But it also we're very risk averse, you know what I mean? And so you sort of are taking a bit of a risk there, right? Because I just graduated university. I was working in Melbourne at Telstra at the time, and to quit the job and just go hey, we're going to survive off the $40,000. It's nuts, right? But I think that's sort of what drove us in some ways, right? Because we quit, and then it's we've only got $40,000. We've got to turn that into something that we've either got to raise money, or we've got to release a product, or we've got to, and it really got us. I think the struggle to keep food on the table makes you innovate more quickly than I think most other things can. So really, we risk.
It's a good motivator for sure. How was the process of applying for that $40,000 that
So Muru D is what they call a startup accelerator. I'm sure if the people that listen to this UQ engineering students, they probably are aware of this. But basically, an accelerator, what they do is they teach you how to run a company effectively. We went through Muru D, we went through Y Combinator in the United States, and we went through TMCX, and we did them all for different reasons. And so the $40,000 was to get into Muru D and to start, I think UQ has iLab. I think that's the main one that Nimrod Clayman's running or is involved with in some major way, or Ideas Hub or something like that. So I'm showing my ignorance there. It's been a while since I've been at EQ. But yeah, and so like an accelerator just sort of helps you grow your company. And so we basically applied online through their website, which sounds absolutely nuts, but we did. We did the same thing with YC and we did the same thing with TMCX and we got into all three of them in the end.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds like it worked out super well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we got very lucky. I think being able to close a couple of million was that was a big turning point for us. It was like, wow, like, you know, we can now hire the staff that we need. We can now build out the product. And that was all the result of honestly going through accelerators and learning how to run a company and how to raise money and all that sort of stuff.
Mm. And so then you kind of took it over to the US. How come you did end up moving over to the US with the company?
So, I mean, if you look at Australia, Australia's fantastic, right? I love Australia. Amazing for running a small business. Surprisingly difficult place to run a startup. Just the investment, like the investment landscape's a little bit newer. Like the culture's a little bit less, like a bit more risk averse, I should say. And it's not like it hasn't sort of been steeped in startup culture for many years. Whereas Silicon Valley, obviously, right? It's like... Yeah. The creme de la creme of where startups go. And if you look at the reasons why, right, like America has 350 million people, Australia has 20 something million, right? And so like you're talking about a market that all speaks English. You know, it's a much bigger market. People have a, like there's you get the billionaires in the US, like lots and lots of billionaires that are willing just to throw money at an idea and see if that idea can take off. And so I guess that the opportunity is more here. And I think that's why we moved across the United States. I think the other thing that plays into this, right, is that not only is the population larger, but particularly with a medical device, you need to go through some sort of regulatory approval, right? And in Australia, that's the Therapeutic Goods Administration. In the United States, that's the FDA, or the Food and Drug Administration. But they're roughly equal in terms of like money, time, energy committed to actually get it across the line. And if you go through the TGA, you're accessing a market of 20 million people and one universal healthcare system. Whereas in the United States, if you go through the FDA, you're looking at 350 million people and one of the largest healthcare budgets in the world. And so it's just a completely different beast. And I think that's why one of the main reasons we went to the United States.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess is going to the United States with your like idea, is that something you would recommend as like a way to really properly get someone's startup off the ground? Or do you think it is like more based on what you're kind of doing and like what your goals are? Or
yeah, for sure. I think once upon a time I used to always tell people like, go to the United States if you've got a startup, you know. I think as I have now matured as a founder, I realize that different startups have different requirements. And if you're a small business, stay in Australia. Oh my God, stay in Australia. You know, like if you're running something that's not like massively scalable, you know, like a perfect example is like a coffee shop or, you know, like, or like some sort of engineering consultancy or, you know, one of these things that's not scalable, it's not a product that can expand, stay in Australia. Australia is one of the best countries in the world to run a small business. It's incredible. Like just the support you get. And but if you're trying to run a startup, I would highly recommend coming to the United States. And when I say startup, I mean specifically venture-backed, raise a couple of million, do a Series A, do a Series B, exit in some way, right? And the reason I say this is investment in the US is you just tend to get much bigger valuations and it's much easier to close money. I mean, like some of the valuations we were getting in Australia were on 2 million Australian, right, when we were leaving. And by the time we reached the United States, that had gone up to, you know, 8 million US dollars, right? And so like the difference is monstrous. And I think that makes a big difference into like who you can hire and I guess how you can expand and things like that. So.
Mm. Yeah, okay. I guess, so on like the note of moving further down in the startup and like actually turning it into a proper business, how did you find the transition from, I guess, being all about just developing the technology to becoming more of, you know, a founder and a head of a company?
Sure. I think this was the interesting part for us because I'm technical, right? I studied at UQ, I did engineering, I did biomedical science. But my buddy Wei is probably a much better, well, not probably, he is a much better engineer than I am. So very early on, we sort of delineated into he would be CTO, I would be CEO. And probably within 12 to 18 months, I had lost a lot of the actual doing of the product, and I was more focused on the actual business aspects. It happens really quickly for me. And I just sort of like, I guess that's the big thing with running a company, right? Is you just need to evolve. Mm. And you need to evolve quickly, right? You need to learn quickly. You need to have an open mind and just assume you've got, you know nothing, right? And I think that's what happened on the business front is I just assumed I knew nothing. I asked lots of questions and very soon I was figuring out how to raise money, you know, mm-hmm. how to pitch investors, how to go to industry, how to convince hospitals that they should work with you. And you have to do that even more when you're moving to the United States as well, because business is done very, very differently here. So in Australia, it's very much, they're like, no, 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 no. And then like, finally they're like, oh yes, okay, I'll do this. Whereas in the United States, it's very much like, yes, yes. Oh yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, that sounds amazing. No, I'm not interested. And so a lot of it's about like, just, I guess, learning on the fly.
So I guess, would you say you had to kind of become more of a people person?
I mean, I was already pretty outgoing to begin with. And I think that sort of helped us out a lot. There are a lot of technical founders, and you'll notice this in YC. Like YC likes to back a lot of technical founders, and a lot of them, like maybe the being people first isn't their strong suit, so they bring someone into that role or they evolve to become that role. For me personally, I've always been fairly like people first more than anything else. I'm very like chatty and social, so it wasn't so much of a problem for me.
Yeah, that's fair enough. So talking about the YC, what was it like actually going through such a big accelerator?
It's insane. I mean, like Y Combinator, oh my gosh, oh my goodness. Like it's something else. So you've got 150 of arguably the best companies in the world that are in your batch. So you don't get a whole lot of time with the partners, but they whittle this down. So they interview about 10,000 companies every single year and they pick 300 of the best into 150 person batches, right? And so you're sort of looking at some of the smartest, most, I don't know, ambitious, most aggressive founders in the world, really. And so that the experience is more for me from YC was more around, I guess, networking with just incredible founders, because being a founder is lonely. I mean, like, don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Like it's a tough job. It's unforgiving. There's long hours. And like, you really need other founders to, I guess, lean on and talk to. Cause there's a lot of things you just can't discuss with many other people. And I mean, if I start talking to some of my friends about my company, they zone out and it's like, it's just not something that they, it's like, well, it's another world, you know, like they're working their corporate jobs, like whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So like, I think for me, it was about getting that network of founders and like to learn, right? Cause like you all have different experience, you all have different knowledge, and so you can learn from each other. And so that's what's sort of the biggest thing from YC for me. But I think more than that, YC provides this insane network. I mean, you look at the companies that have gone through YC, you've got Airbnb, you've got Dropbox, but they're just like the top two, right? Or the top couple. There's so many more. There's Brex, there's like, just, you keep going, Stripe, like you keep going down the list and there's just phenomenal companies there. And so like, you just get connections to these incredible people, I guess. Not to mention the partners themselves are incredibly intelligent and easy to talk to and really knowledgeable as well.
Yeah, that sounds like a fantastic program, I have to say. It sounds like it'd be very, very intense though, and like competitive. And
it's very intense. It's not so competitive, but it's more collaborative, I think. That's actually something, I guess, a point I could make to anyone thinking of starting a company that's listening to this, is in Australia, what I noticed is that everyone was afraid to share their idea in case someone stole it, you know. It's really not that much of a risk. like maybe, but not really. You know what I mean? What you notice in the US is it's much more collaborative. Like you tell everyone what you're doing. Oh yeah, we're building a, unless you're running a stealth startup, which is like a, there's not too many people to do that, but most people, they share their idea and other people help them along the way. Like it's not a one man or three man journey, right? It's like this, it's a big undertaking and you shouldn't be afraid to share your idea. Most people won't have the guts to get a company off the ground with your idea. And like those that do, I mean, like, I just, it's very, very low probability of that happening. I think the benefits outweigh the risks, is what I would say.
Yeah. So like, yeah. So I guess around having the drive to start that company, how do you feel like once you've kind of started with the idea or like even have gotten a little bit further along, how do you keep yourself motivated to keep going and keep working at it?
You know, that's a really good question. And I think it honestly, it comes down, at least my experience has been, it comes down to the mission and why you're building the company in the first place. I mean, you're building the company because you're in it for the money, you're going to be out within 12 months. I mean, like if I look at the things that I had to do, like in the early days, like when we raised that $40,000, it's a long story, but we had this situation occurred and Wei and I needed to pay a bunch of money out of our own pockets, like 20 something thousand dollars out of our own pockets. And in order to keep the company alive, in order to keep the lights on, I was driving Uber from 6 p.m. at night till 10 p.m. at night. And then I'd wake up in the morning at 6 a.m. and I'd drive people to the airport. And like, that's crazy. And then I'd work, by the way, from 8 or 9 through till, you know, 5 o'clock at night, and I'd wash, rinse, repeat, you know, and I'd work both days of the weekend. And I did that for a good 4 to 5 months, sort of keep the lights on, because, you know, we had a couple of small disasters along the way. And like, you just don't do that if you don't have a bigger purpose and a bigger mission, you know. It's like, I'm done, you know. And if we'd quit then, we never would be where we are today. And I think that's like, I think it's just honestly perseverance and having a mission big enough that you're willing to do the crazy stuff when you need to. And like, I look back on that time and I'll finish up the story because it's interesting. But like, so I was driving Uber to keep the lights on, you know, and I would drive people to the airport, and everybody that hopped in my car, I would ask them what they did so that they would then ask me what I did. And the reason I did that is I realized that if they asked me what I did, I could practice my 60-second pitch. And so I practiced my 60-second pitch with essentially everybody that hopped into my car. And like, if you think about the fact that I did that for 6 months, I 60-second pitched probably about 500 people in that car over that space of time. That's a lot of practice, right?
Yeah.
And so anyway, this competition came up to win $40,000 if you could do a good 60-second pitch, the St. George Kickstart competition in Sydney. And so we applied, and naturally, after practicing that much, I was pretty good at doing a 60-second pitch, and we won it. Right. And so that 60-second pitch ended up letting us to get us $40,000. No questions asked. We ended up getting publicity in front of a hospital. The hospital then agreed to conduct a study with us. And then from that study, we ended up getting into YC, because YC is like, oh my God, you're doing a study. And so then that brought us over here, and then we raised a couple of million. And like, that's the sort of stuff that like, you just don't do if the mission isn't strong enough, or if you're, you know, what you're trying to build isn't like, I guess, you're not passionate about what you're trying to build. If you're in it for the money, you're out. Like, there's way better ways to make money.
Yeah, because I know, I feel like a lot of people do have some exciting project that they often start, but it doesn't quite get completed, or it doesn't quite fully happen. What was the mission for you, I guess, like with your project?
I mean, to save my own life, really. That one was a pretty strong one. Yeah. So look, honestly, like if you consider that last year in America, at least, sepsis killed more people than lung, breast, and prostate cancer combined. I mean, that's monstrous. I've been on the other side of it. I've had 18 episodes of sepsis, or more than 18 episodes of sepsis, and sepsis is a condition that kills 1 in 6 times, right? Like, I've met people who have lost friends and family from sepsis. I've personally been on the other side of it. It's scary, right? Like landing yourself in the ICU. I remember getting helicoptered off Lake Tahoe. I mean, like, this is a problem that needs to be solved. And I guess I want to be a part of that, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get there. And I think that's, yeah, I guess that's why the mission is personal to me.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that is the most personal like way to have a mission, is a kind of a life and death situation.
Yeah. And I just on that, actually, to not discourage people from doing this. I mean, the mission doesn't have to be as like cut and dry and crazy as me, right? Like a founder solving a problem like that. It can be something you're just passionate about, or something that it just has to be more than money. And I think that's the key, is if you're doing it for the money, don't. Go move across to the United States, become an engineer for Google, earn like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars and be happy with your life. Like, starting a company, you've got to have a larger mission. You've got to have a larger purpose with it. So yeah, I just thought that's something wise I should add.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you. I think that's pretty much all of my questions that I have prepared. And I feel like we've covered a decent amount, which is really awesome. Are there any anything else you'd like to say a little bit about the whole startup journey?
Yeah, I think what I would say is if you're a student sitting there thinking, I really want to start a company on X, Y, or Z, right? And I'm passionate about it, and it's not based on money. It's something that you really think you'd love to do, or you'd love to make a difference in the world in some way. Go for it. I mean, holy shit, just start. Learn, absorb all the knowledge you've got. You've got it in you, right? Like the world is like, what's that saying? The world is made up from people no smarter than you. Like you can do this, right? Like I'm a country kid from Toowoomba that went to UQ and started a company, right? Like there's nothing particularly special about me. There's nothing particularly special about any of the companies really in YC. They all have these impressive sounding resumes, but it's mostly just show, right? And you've got it, right? Like you can do it. And I think that's the part that a lot of, particularly in Australia, a lot of founders struggle with is it's like, it seems so intangible. It seems so unreachable, but it's not. Like you can do this. You can be where I am right now. You can move across the United States, raise a couple of million and start a company. There's nothing stopping you. And, I just say to anyone out there who's thinking of doing it, give it a crack. I mean, what have you got to lose? Once you get started, it's a 5 to 7 year journey, sometimes up to 10 or more. So get ready for that. But what have you got to lose? Give it a try.
Awesome. I feel like that's fantastic motivational advice for sure. And I hope it does encourage like more people to pursue their great idea because so many people do have fantastic ideas and just not the motivation or not... Don't feel inclined to try and realize them.
And honestly, like an idea isn't a company till you execute. Honestly, like there's all these people who have amazing ideas and they sit on them and they take them to the grave or they watch someone else build them out. But like, honestly, like you just need to take that idea and turn it into a company or turn it into something. If you think it's that good, like test it with users, like try it out and turn it into something that can really help the world. It really pains me to see that particularly in Australia, there's a lot of brilliant people who end up going and working for like, and there's nothing wrong with this, investment banks and like, you name it, when they, you know, and what their real passion was to start a company. And I don't know, I just really hope, that some people listening to this just decide to take the plunge and see where it goes. You may end up be a gigantic flop, right? It may be a disaster, but God damn it, give it a try.
Yeah, well, awesome stuff. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me for this one, Rob. I think it was really insightful as to the whole startup process, which I feel like is often a little bit mystified. It's really hard to get a firsthand account of going all the way, including like going all the way to America, going through all these fantastic accelerators, and then actually getting a proper business out of it at the end. So thank you so much for sharing that with us today.
No worries at all, Olivia. Thanks so much.
And that's all we have for you today. Please join us again 2 weeks from now for our next episode. Until then, come join our community at slack.uqcs.org.